Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I'm just going to read a little bit of Adrian Wojnarowski's report on what happened there, that you were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layton, quote, "You effing need me." How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate in it. I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest. Me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
And I was going to say, is it not the right way for it to come out? Do you think it was the wrong thing to do, or was
no.
it an okay thing to do?
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing. Playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
This is a Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra kind of player, and I don't think there's in any way Miami is frightened off by seeing Jimmy Butler, you know, hearing the reports, watching the interview with Rachel. That's the player they want in Miami. That's what they built a franchise on. Mm-hmm. Miami remains interested in trying to find a way to get a deal done. Yeah, you know what we
is. Sometimes you gotta stay. Hey, a very good morning to everyone out there. Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach. They'll be back tomorrow. We'll hold it down for him here today. That was Jimmy Butler, Rachel Nichols. You heard a little Woj there at the end. A wild day in Minnesota. One of the craziest stunts we have seen. You know, Dave, the only thing that came to mind, I'm trying to think like what was equally as crazy from a PR standpoint, and the decision came to mind. So let's recap what happened yesterday in Minnesota. So Jimmy Butler, who you just heard, he loves basketball. He's all about the truth. He's passionate. He's this and that.
That
okay,
was
great.
The pure me.
Yes, that's great. Except for the fact you demanded a trade 3 weeks ago and you didn't show up to training camp until yesterday when he shows up to practice. So his love for the game didn't get him into training camp. He doesn't love it that much, but he loves it. And all he wants to do is win. So he shows up yesterday at practice. And apparently, because all the reports that we've heard, and he said this was true as well, and we had, you know, some of the players talked about it and, you know, whatever yesterday, he went and was screaming at the GM, "You bleeping need me." You heard Rachel Nichols mention that. We saw the Woj tweet about it. So all that goes down at practice. And also he takes the guys off the bench and beats the starters in practice in an intense game going at Karl Anthony Towns, at Wiggins, all those guys. So the timeline on this thing is very strange because Rachel Nichols is already there to do this interview.
She's been called in ahead of time.
She got called the night before Jimmy Butler showed up to practice. So she's already on her way out there, which means Jimmy Butler and his team or whatever, we do that now, teams or camps.
Absolutely.
Camps. Because Kawhi Leonard had a camp. Those are the only people that would speak for him, his camp. So Jimmy Butler has, a day to plan this thing out and decide what he's going to do. He goes and makes what sounds like a massive scene at his practice yesterday. It leaks to the media very conveniently before Jimmy Butler sits down with Rachel Nichols to do this tell-all interview in which he really said nothing. If you listen to the whole thing, it's just it's really a bunch of nonsense at the end of the day. It's just him saying, I only tell the truth, and I'm passionate.
It's a scripted line that he's gotten from his agent or whatever. They've come up. Yeah. This is the best way to take.
I just, Dave, have you, you've been covering sports forever down here, and you know the national landscape and all this. I know times have changed, and let's be honest, this is brilliant for the, this is great for the NBA, because I think the NBA, their offseason and their off-the-court drama is as good or better than their regular season, and I think that's the reason why fans are so captivated with the NBA, is because you have these massive personalities. You have guys like LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler. I mean, you look at Minnesota, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. Like, you have all these recognizable stars like no other league in this country has. I mean, you can look at the NFL. There's a lot of stars in that league. But, Dave, how many of those superstars in the NFL are really recognizable?
Yeah,
really heavily marketable guys. The NBA has that in spades. I mean, there are so many guys in the NBA. I mean, you could pick any team. Real. I mean, look at the Sixers. Joel Embiid just signed a big deal with Under Armour yesterday. Ben Simmons on that team. Huge out of high school and college. He signs a huge deal. I mean, these guys are very recognizable, very marketable, and they all have unique personalities that we don't see in any other sport. So I think the soap opera factor of the NBA is a huge driving component to why the league is as popular as it is right now.
And it also allows the league to do one thing, which is take the spotlight off the actual games in the regular season. You think it's going to be fun to watch Golden State this year? They've been to the finals, what, four straight years?
Yeah,
and
they went and added DeMarcus Cousins.
They're not going to care anything about the regular season. And so any fan getting hyped up, oh, Golden State's in town, they're going to sit players. They're not going to care, because all they're going to care about, and rightfully so from their perspective, is come April. And so, yes, these type of soap operas give – good attention to the NBA in a very bizarre way. Now, this is all choreographed by Jimmy Butler and his team. They've come up. This is the way to get you out of Minnesota. You're going to cause a scene in the practice. You're going to have a national interview in which you come off as bizarre, but talking passion, talking your love of the game, even though you haven't been around the game for 5 months. And yet this is their way of flexing some muscle and the question is, if you're Minnesota, do you say, we got to get rid of this guy now? We definitely got to get rid of this guy.
So, Dave, you know Rachel Nichols. And this whole thing was scripted. There's no question about it. This thing was planned out in advance. But why didn't Rachel Nichols say at some point in that interview, what is it that you want? Like, what is your end game here? Maybe she wasn't allowed to ask
that.
Well, no,
we don't know.
Jimmy said that going in.
The full interview, I think, is coming this afternoon. So we'll see. That would be my first question.
Because that's all I want to know. What is your end game here, Jimmy Butler?
What are you trying to accomplish?
Are you trying to fire up your team to make a run at this thing? Are you trying to force your way out? That's just kind of what I want to know from this whole deal. Is like, what is he trying to accomplish? Well, is Jimmy Butler going to be at practice today?
He's trying to force his way out, because otherwise you wouldn't do all this, right? You wouldn't cause a national scene, a national basketball scene, certainly, with yourself coming across a little different, a little imbalanced at times, right? On what do
you can use the words if you want. It was the one of the weirdest things, the way that the entire thing was scripted, because you look at, you know, what happened at the practice, you're like, okay, this is kind of cool, actually. Like, this is a neat story. And then you see that Rachel Nichols is there to do an interview, and I didn't make anything of it. I'm like, okay, maybe she, you know, got a call and this is a hot story or whatever, and she came in to do an interview. I didn't think that, you know, she got the call the night before, and that this whole thing was drawn out, and that they were going to make a scene in practice intentionally. And, you know, Dave, we were talking about crazy locker rooms earlier today, and I just cannot imagine what that locker room is like. Because look, the reality with that team is there are a bunch of big personalities there. And Carl Anthony Towns just got paid in a big way.
There's the issue.
He got paid, and he is clearly what that team is looking at in the future and what they have tied themselves to. And they haven't done that yet with Jimmy Butler. I don't know that they will. And I know that they also like Andrew Wiggins. So I don't know where Jimmy Butler fits in there.
Let's go.
And I think that he seems like a scorned.
Let's go with the superstar with what Woj was talking about at the end of this, which he was saying, if you're Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, this doesn't bother you in the least. Mm-hmm. In fact, do you agree with that?
I think if anything, this should inspire the Heat to
absolutely
lock this
that's
thing
my
down
thought too.
Because if I'm
it's a Godfather
Dave,
move, right?
Yeah, if I'm guessing, this smells to me like him trying to force his way out of there. I can't imagine any other reason he would have done this full on stunt. Like, if you want to be there, you can do what you did in practice yesterday. Number one, number two, it probably doesn't leak, and number three, why would you have Rachel Nichols fly in and stand by for an interview?
No, this is his power play to try to accelerate a trade and try to say, you keep me around, I'm going to be a circus act all year or all week or all month or however long it takes you to trade me, but you're going to trade me. And if you don't, I'm sure he has plan B up his sleeve today, right?
I just
can't
wonder what's
going
to happen.
What's the next move for Jimmy Butler?
So that's the thing.
More of the same?
We're going to go to Minnesota to speak to Jim Suhan, who works for the Star Tribune up there. And you know, like I said, Dave, we don't really go around the league and bring in beat writers and this and that, and usually, but this is a story that I've just never seen anything like this before, and I just think that this is something we need to get a perspective of someone who's around that team and, you know, can give us a little bit better.
I'm sure that's playing well in Minnesota, huh?
Yeah, I can't imagine what the fans are saying up there, so, you know, it'll be very interesting to go up, but we're going to go to Minnesota at 8:40 this morning, and we will speak to Jim Suhan. He is the Dave Hyde of Minnesota. He works for the Star Tribune up
Let's
there.
Let's hope he aims higher.
Let's do this, though. We have a lot of requests for the code word of the hour, and I think we'll get to it right now. It's time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM $1,000 touchdown contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word CHERRY to 72881, and you're registered. Text CHERRY, CHERRY, to 72881. Now, if you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour. WQAM's $1,000 touchdown contest is brought to you by Gunther Mazda. Get to know the all-new premium Mazda lineup at Gunther Mazda today. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. All right, Dave, we've got it all fired up here on the text machine. We will read some of those texts on the Keno Toyota, West Keno Toyota text line at 560-22. We'll also, again, we will go to Minnesota. Later this hour, we'll check in on the Timberwolves. Phil Simms is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, along with Brian Scrudlin, who you said, Dave, was one of your favorites.
Top five guys I've covered.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that when I booked him yesterday. The Panthers have their big 25th anniversary celebration going on. They have their home opener tonight. So I'm going to let you handle a lot of that interview, Dave, because you seem to really like this guy.
I haven't talked to him since the hate. I've run into him here and there, but not really.
It's been a while, and there's a buzz around the Panthers right now. So you really hope that the Panthers can find a way this year to.
I want
get
any
into
team to
playoffs.
Win. Can any team win down here, please? Please.
It's yeah.
Please. It's much more fun to cover excellence than mediocrity and locker rooms and teams that smell. Now, please, somebody win. Anybody.
All right, we got plenty more to come here on the show. Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach.
Radio.com. For 2.5, 3 quarters, we did a good job of executing the run game, being third and manageable, converting on third downs. Had some opportunities on third downs that we didn't convert, and we should have. So, just comes down to execution. If we stay ahead of the chains and we don't put ourselves in 2nd and 20 and, you know, 3rd and 17s, then we're going to be in good shape. So, like I said, take care of the football, eliminate the dumb penalties, and we'll be in good shape.
At the end of the day, it's a decision, right? Everything you do is a decision. So the first one, obviously, bad decision. The second one, probably a bit too aggressive, moving up in the pocket like that. 3rd and 20, you know, probably should have just ran it and moved on, and punted, and moved on to the next play.
And
so,
hereby easily correctable?
Yeah, no question. It's something we talked through, and we're going to continue to work in practice of putting ourselves in those situations and, you know, having the right reaction when you get in those situations again.
Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill, it's easily correctable, Dave. Easily correctable. as we hear from the Dolphins quarterback Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach this morning. Want to let you know our friends at Camp USA Motorhome Rentals have a great giveaway. Go to CampUSARV.com and register to win a day trip to the Miami versus Detroit game on October 21st. The trip includes a luxury RV for up to 8 people, a driver for 8 hours, a parking pass, and 4 tickets. That's CampUSARV.com and see the website for all terms and conditions. This is one of my favorite giveaway. I mean, this is a really sweet giveaway, isn't it?
I'm stuck on the phrase easily correctable, to be honest with you. It's like one of, if it was so easily correctable, and I'm not this specific thing, but there's always something else that
well, it's been
isn't
7 years. 7 years and, what, 6-5 games?
How do you think Bill Lazor on the other sideline, Cincinnati? Now, Bill Lazor, I was very critical of him when he was here because he didn't let Tannehill call
because
audibles.
He wasn't good.
He didn't let Tannehill. Yeah. You can't have an NFL quarterback and handcuff him. Okay, so either he's your quarterback or not, but you got him out there. And Bill Lazor, when he was offensive coordinator for the Dolphins, him and Joe Philbin wouldn't let Tannehill call. But if you're Bill Lazor on the other side and you watch how that afternoon devolves and just caves in on itself for the Dolphins, you're thinking, okay, I was right, right?
Can I ask you a question, Dave? And here's the thing with Ryan Tannehill is he stands up there like a robot and just says whatever he said. Does he realize the magnitude of the situation that he's in right now? If he doesn't shape up and does not play better, he is not only going to probably have his career come to an end eventually, and he might cost a whole bunch of people their jobs, including the head coach, Adam Gase. And again, I am going to go on record. I think if they fire Adam Gase, no matter how bad this season turns out, I think it'd be a massive mistake because I think Adam Gase is a really talented young coach, and these young coaches are the future of the NFL. So I don't know who you're going to go out and get to replace him that's going to be better, but I like Adam Gase a lot, and I think that he gets it. The players really like him, so I'm good with him. But does Ryan Tannehill realize the magnitude of what's going on here? You know, because, again, he throws these awful pick sixes, and he just jogs off the field like, oh, we'll get him next play. Just jogs off. There's no emotion.
Okay, I don't have any problem with that. What's he supposed to do?
It's just all so robotic to me. And I just wonder, Dave, 7 years into the deal here, does he realize this is it? Because I don't know how many more seasons you can go in and say, you know, if they go 500 this year, or they even go 9-7, can you go into next season and say, is Ryan Tannehill the guy? Is he going to take it to the next level? He's going to be 31 now. He's going to be 32 now. Can he take it to the next level?
He'll be 45. This is the year. Is that what you're saying?
Dave, at a certain point, we got to stop with this. Ryan Tannehill, the guy, and he needs to show that he realizes the magnitude of this situation here. Because
But I don't understand. How could he show that? He, like anybody else, he understands the organization gave him the keys. And not only the organization, past organization, the current organization with Adam Gase and Mike Tannenbaum for the past 3 years have given him the keys of the franchise. But I don't know how that's supposed to translate into how he's supposed to react after a bad play or talk to the media or whatever. To me, he handles all those things just fine. He does so many good things. And that's, you know, as far as putting in the work, as far as being smart, as far as trying to change his personality a little to be a better leader through the years, all those parts.
You're flip-flopping on me right now.
I'm not flip-flopping at all.
Because, Dave,
I'm saying it comes down to the field for me. Is he the NFL quarterback on the field? And you can't keep year after year making excuses that somewhere else when the problem's standing in front of you and it's saying, okay, he's an okay quarterback. He's never going to be the great quarterback we thought he'd be.
And I can live with that. I can live with middle of the road. I can live with Alex Smith. I just can't live with a guy who's making Blake Bortles-type mistakes, he's trying to throw the ball away, and he throws it off a lineman's head. I can't live with that 7 years in. This isn't like middle-of-the-road college football. This is the NFL, and he's not a rookie. He's not a second-year guy. He's not a third-year guy. So at a certain point, these mistakes. And the other problem is, the main problem, the Dolphins have never challenged him at that position. They've never brought in another guy and said, you're going to go into camp and you're going to compete for your damn job. They have never done that once.
See,
and they had an opportunity to do it this past season. I've been yelling they should draft a quarterback for a long time here. And it's not because I dislike Ryan Tannehill or I don't think he can get the job done. It's because I think you need competition, because competition makes other people better. And Ryan Tannehill knows Brock Osweiler is not going to overtake him for that starting job. Brock Osweiler stinks. We saw him through camp down here. He is not the guy that is going to overtake Ryan Tannehill for the starting quarterback position for this team. So Ryan Tannehill has no real competition, Dave. There's no one that can jump in and overtake him. And that, to me, is the problem.
Just so people,
teams like the Patriots go out and draft quarterbacks. When you have Tom Brady sitting there saying, I'm going to play till I'm 45 years old, they still went out and got a quarterback. And you know what happens if the guy ends up being good, like Jimmy Garoppolo? You trade him away and you get some good picks.
That's, you look at Bill Belichick every other year has drafted a quarterback using a second or third draft pick, usually. And that's part of the mentality of building a good organization. To me, this isn't a Tannehill question right now. It is an organizational question, and that is 7 years never investing in a quarterback. And because, you know, in part, the main reason is that these regimes are so insecure that they don't want to use a second or third round pick on another quarterback when we need help here, we need help at linebacker, we need help at guard. And so they don't want to invest. But you look at, when you make the decision Tannehill is going to be your quarterback, as they have, you miss out on the opportunity to upgrade or take chance on else. Look at, we've gone through this, Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. They traded up. At a year, they had Alex Smith, who's a good quarterback. He took them to the playoffs. You had Philadelphia. Use the Dolphins. They traded with to get the Dolphins' eighth pick overall, and then jumped up from there and got Carson Wentz. You see, Deshaun Watson was traded up for. You saw the Bills got rid of Tyrod Taylor, who took them to the playoffs last year because they didn't think he was good enough. At some point, what Gase and what Tannenbaum and all these guys have married themselves to Tannehill and said, we think he's going to be good enough. And larger point is, we think we can surround him with talent to be good enough, and that hasn't worked out this year either.
Well, you know, Dave, look, they got rid of Jarvis Landry. They brought in some guys who I think are good. And again, I think this Dolphins team is actually a lot better than most of the national media has said they were going to be. I thought that they would be a pretty good team going into this season, and they were so close to being 4-1. And that's why this is so disappointing here as we sit at 3-2, and you welcome in a very tough Bears team, and that's, again, it's just why.
But
this
you're
is
picking them to
really
be 4-2, right?
I think they can beat the Bears. I really
and they
do.
Can beat the Lions. The
I,
next
I
week.
Think they can beat the Lions, Dave.
They could be 5-2.
I think they can win all these home games.
This whole conversation changed
really
them.
But to me, Dave, it boils down to this: can Ryan Tannehill go out there and manage these games and not make the plays that he made on Sunday? Which, look, they cost you the game. And people can say whatever they want. They can say it's, you know, the offensive line. They could say whatever. You can't make those plays. You have to find a way to throw the ball away or take the sack. Adam Gase has said it 100 times starting after the game on Sunday and through the week here.
Again, the scary thing to me and the revealing thing is those plays weren't out of nowhere for him. Against the Jets, he had a similar play. A blitz, it's one, the guy's coming in on him, and he just tries to throw the ball, and it slips out of his hand, touchdown Jets. Against the Patriots, it's still a game. It's still, the defense is putting up a fight. You have a shotgun snap that goes through his hands, and he says, I gotta get that snap. And now we're here to the Bengals game, and there's two plays like this. And so here we are in year 7 with him at age 30, And
yeah,
he's not an awful quarterback. He's just not going to take you to the level you thought he could.
And you've been one of his biggest supporters, Dave. I've supported Ryan too. And that game on Sunday, I don't know what it did to me.
It made you tap out on Tannehill, which is what it did to me. I'm like an MMA guy on the floor, and I'm tapping the pads.
I just felt it in my gut on Sunday. It's like you know how big that game was, like when. The NFL is going to come down. It's going to come for the Dolphins. It's going to come down to probably one or two games. Difference between making and missing the playoffs, right? It always does in the NFL. assuming the Dolphins don't run the table here.
They aren't going to run. They'll be anywhere between 6 wins and 10 wins, like they are for the last decade.
New England is getting right, which we know that they would, right? That was obvious. The other two teams in your division seem to be making strides. Josh Allen,
I know,
Sam
they're
Darnold.
Not making strides.
I don't know, Dave.
They're awful. They're awful.
Not, well, they were awful.
They are
I don't
awful.
Know if they're awful anymore.
They are.
Jets didn't look so awful on Sunday, did they? Put a pounding on the Broncos. And the Bills are not a great team, but they're getting better. You can at least admit that.
I'm not. They have a good defense. They have an awful offense. They
they're
went
not the
13
not
to 12
the
or something like that.
They're not the cakewalk we thought they were going to be.
They are the cakewalk you thought they'd be.
I hope you're right about
awful.
That. I really
they
do.
They better be. You better be able to beat the Bills twice.
I got to get past this game on Sunday, that Bengals game. We have to get past it. I know you said
you
tried
need therapy.
To push past
you need
it.
Therapy. You don't have to.
Dave, it was one of the most heartbreaking losses we've had in a long time down here. It really was. I mean, you're up 17 points in the second half.
Was it worse than the Patriots loss where you don't put up a fight? You know, you talked about new culture.
No, I don't.
The
I
Dolphins
don't mind.
Have a new culture.
Mind that game.
They're not gonna. You don't
I didn't
mind
that.
Game.
I didn't mind that one as much, Dave. You go look. The team started 3-0. You go and you get your ass kicked in New England. It is what it is. A
no,
lot
no,
of teams.
No,
have
no,
gone
you
up.
Just don't get your ass kicked. Let's. I remember Bill Belichick after on his a football life or something like that, talking about his teams, and he said, "We started off awful 1 year. We'll go into Kansas City, get destroyed, but." You could see in the fourth quarter, we're still playing hard. And I knew we could do something with that team when I saw that. If I'm Adam Gase and you saw New England, they just didn't lose. They did not play hard. And we talked all about culture and new, you know, getting rid of guys who weren't in the team and all that. And you go in the real first real test of adversity where you are down and getting pounded. You didn't put up a fight in New England. So I think Cincinnati was a worse loss, but you know, it's almost a coin flip which loss was worse. Because
Cincinnati, the New England loss sucked.
In Cincinnati,
but you felt like the Dolphins were bouncing back last Sunday. You felt like they were showing heart and were bouncing back, and we're about to go to 4-1 on the season. 4-1 is a really good start. I don't care what any of these people on the text machine say about the talent or Tannehill or Gase or whatever. 4-1 is a good start.
How's 4-2?
In the NFL. 4-2 is a good start, too. Got to win on Sunday. Got to win. We got to go to Minnesota when we come back here. This Jimmy Butler thing has been crazy. We are going to talk to Jim Suhan. He writes for the Star Tribune in Minnesota. I wanted to go up there and get an opinion from someone in Minnesota because I'm going to just ask him, you know, how is this playing out with that Timberwolves team, number one, and what is going on in the media there in Minnesota? I got to know what the fans are saying about this Jimmy Butler stuff because this has been so, so crazy here. So we're going to talk to Jim Suhan. When we come back, Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach. Radio.com.
Radio.com. The truth. I didn't go at those two. One of them came at me. One of them came at me, and I just.
Which one?
Cat. Cat came at me. We're up in practice, and he says, anybody can get this work. I said, do it to me. That's all that I said. I said, every time I get switched out onto you, you pass it. I'm a competitor. I'm in here talking. Come at me. If you score on me, I'm going to tap you on your butt. Good move. You got the best of me.
I mean,
but you got to do it every time. Tibbs is my guy. Mm-hmm. And as I told everybody time and time again, and I'll tell you, he's somebody that I trust. And I think that they take that as a weakness. They take that kind of like, that's your guy. You trust him. Stay with him. That is your guy. Defensive minded. Oh, rah-rah, I'm yelling at you. I do like that. Yeah. That is my guy. Yeah. But you can't sit here and say that it's always in my best interest because he worked for the organization as well. And I have to realize that. And I have to sit back and be like, well, he does care about you, but he does work for the organization. And his job is to do what's best for the organization.
All right, that was Jimmy Butler, Hollywood, and Dave Hyde here in with you this morning as, Minnesota has turned into the center of the NBA world here over the past 24 hours. It has been just crazy as you heard some of that stuff from Jimmy Butler and kind enough to join us and get up early with us from Minnesota's Jim Suhan. He is a columnist for the Star Tribune. He joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Jim, good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time with us here. I know it must be a busy time for you up there.
You know, just writing about Timberwolves dysfunction is just something we do every year.
what time's the practice today, Jim? That's all we care about, because we know Jimmy Butler must have something planned on day two, right?
Oh, good Lord. They have not released the practice time or the media availability time today. I think they're going to go to Winnipeg and hold the rest of training camp there. It's funny. I have a running joke with some Timberwolves employees, and, you know, we've tried to figure out the source of the curse because nothing – this is the amazing thing about this. The organization was finally doing things that made sense, at least seemed to make sense at the time. Glenn Taylor was spending a lot of money. He went out and hired the most accomplished coach he could possibly hire on the market. That was Tom Thibodeau at the time. And Tom Thibodeau said it's time to win now. Glenn Taylor said it's time to win now. So they traded for the best player they possibly could have acquired to go with Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And Tibbs put full faith in the fact that Jimmy Butler is going to be his guy, his leader, his liaison. And Jimmy Butler turns out to be just a self-aggrandizing idiot.
So what do you make of all this? Is this this past day, in other words, I'm talking about, is this choreographed to accelerate his exit from Minnesota from his perspective, or is he just off his rocker?
I think both. This is a power play. It's very choreographed. He finally shows up and goes to practice and then goes directly to an interview with Rachel Nichols, who the Timberwolves didn't even know was in town. It's all incredibly choreographed. The question is it intelligently choreographed? Because what Jimmy thinks he's doing is saying, look, I'm so much better than everybody else in this organization. I'm great. They stink. I'm tough. They're weak. I know it's a star league, and I know somebody's still going to trade for him. I know he's going to end up being a pretty good player someplace. But he's damaging his own brand, too. He looks like an idiot. He looks like an egomaniac. And wherever he goes, he's either going to go a bad team where he's going to be the alpha male on a bad team, or he's going to go to a good team where he's going to be asked to play a role. I'm not sure how this display helps him in either case.
Jim, Sue Ann here with us from the Star Tribune. He's a columnist there up in Minnesota. This thing, it was obviously scripted, right? I mean, Rachel Nichols is contacted the day before to fly up there, get ready for the interview. The story from practice leaks conveniently before he goes and does the interview. So, again, this whole thing feels very scripted. And I ask you this, Jim, with it being scripted and all, what is the end game here for Jimmy Butler? Does he want to play there? Because a lot of his stuff was kind of contradictory that he was saying during his interview. Like, I don't know if he wants to motivate his guys and play there or if he's trying to force his way out.
No, he's trying to force his way out. He wants out. He's been telling, and this is where the Timberwolves have screwed up. First, Thibodeau made the initial mistake to trust Jimmy Butler. Then he's compounded those mistakes by, we're hearing rumbling about it this summer, but there's no confirmation. We heard that Tibbs finally flew out to talk to Jimmy in L.A., and Jimmy finally said, hey, I want to trade. Now Jimmy is saying, hey, I've been telling these guys since 4 days after the season that I want out, and the Timberwolves have completely botched this. I'm not trying to excuse them. They botched this. But this is Jimmy trying to force a trade he's not just trying to force a trade. He's trying to force a trade and make himself look like some kind of superhero in the process, someone who is too good for this organization.
Well, let's put it. It's not coming across that way. He's not coming across as a superhero.
He's miscalculating.
Yeah.
Miscalculating. He thinks he's making himself look good, and he's making himself look bad.
Is this all about money? Because Carl Anthony Towns got paid, just so people know, he got a max contract, and Jimmy Butler obviously going to the final year of his contract right now.
Yes, he wants to go to someplace else and get the full-fledged max contract, which is more than the Timberwolves could pay him if they're just going to extend him up here. So it's a lot about money, and that's why I think that all the stuff where he's trying to make himself look good in terms of being a leader, being a tough guy, all these other things. If he just said, I'm going to be like a lot of NBA players, I'm just going to go where I can make the most money and hopefully play in a city I like, people wouldn't like it, but they'd get it. It wouldn't make him unique. It's the display. It's the arrogance of the display that's making him unique.
Jim Suhan here from the Star Tribune in Minnesota. Jim, I'm just curious what the fan reaction has been like up there. I know you've written a bunch of stuff, and I'm sure you see, you know, on talk radio and on your comment section and all that. Has everyone turned on Jimmy Butler up there? I'm assuming the fans have probably had enough of his show, right?
Actually, the Wolves have done such a horrible job running their franchise for the last 30 years. It's amazing how many people are on Jimmy Butler's side.
Huh.
It's amazing how many people I'm seeing on social media and hearing on the airwaves saying, you know what, Jimmy's right. And he's teaching these kids how to be tough, and he's challenging them. He's going to make them better, which is just dumb. This that's not what's happening here. And the organization is fully to blame for creating the circumstances that led to this. And the organization has been poorly run for 30 years. But that doesn't, to me, excuse the fact that it doesn't excuse Jimmy's behavior or his ham-handed efforts here. I'm amazed at how many people are supporting him who shouldn't be.
All right. From the Heat's perspective, because down here, everybody's thinking, okay, should the Heat trade? What should they give up? What kind of a player is Jimmy Butler now? Age 30, you know, not the guy rising with the Bulls, but now he's established. Who is he? Who has he been for Minnesota?
He's a very good player who was given too much authority. He's a very good defender. He's a very good offensive player. He can shoot the three. He can take it to the hole. He can finish in traffic. He can finish physically. He can draw fouls. He can pass when he wants to. He can be a very good passer. He's a very good player. And he can fit a lot of different styles because of his diverse skill set. And when he was healthy last year, this team was on track to be like a number three seed in a very difficult conference. So he's a very good player. His flaws are here. He wanted to take every last shot, and he got to take the last shot. And a lot of times, instead of running an offense where you have a lot of talent and you should have a lot of ball movement, it was Jimmy dribbling for 20 seconds and jacking up a shot. So I think whoever gets him needs to remove that from his arsenal because he's not good at that. And the other problem is he tends to miss about 15 games a year, and he couldn't finish the playoff series in Houston last year because of his knee problem. So, you know, for a guy whose calling card is toughness and grit and playing a lot of minutes, well, I don't know if the knee's going to allow him to do all those things in the future.
Jim, last thing for you. I know you can't predict the future here, but you're around that team a lot. How does this thing play out? If someone's got a break at some point, whether it's the organization who just decides to trade him or Jimmy, who, you know, ends up not going back to practice and decides not to play him, how does this thing play out here?
I think they're going to trade him. The owner wants him traded, and he's allowed Tom Thibodeau to. And what's been difficult to tell up until yesterday was whether Thibodeau really thought there was a way of bringing Jimmy back and settling things down and going forward with him, which is what Tibbs wants, or whether he was just trying to create that impression because he thought it gave him more leverage when talking to other teams. But the owner's got to step in at this point and say, this is a mess, it's embarrassing. Trade him, get a decent offer, trade him, and move on.
Jim, I appreciate the time this morning. Great stuff.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
All right, enjoy the season, by the way. Sounds like fun up there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. Absolutely.
Jim, thank you. Appreciate it. Man, if you think you have a dysfunctional organization or two down here, yikes.
I'm just thinking what it'd be fun to write, though. It'd be fun to write in the short term. But the problem is you've been waiting for that franchise to win up there. And as Jim said, they were on track. They were fourth seed and on track for third when Butler was healthy last year.
That's why I think it's interesting, Dave, in a situation like this to go up to Minnesota, get it from a guy who's covered the team for as long as he has. And, you know, again, I don't cover the Timberwolves, neither do you. So we look at it as Jimmy Butler is just making a complete scene out of this thing, and he looks bad. But, you know, you never think of it like the organization in Minnesota is also a mess. So kind of an interesting way to look at that thing here. Phil Simms is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour along with Brian Scrudlin. We're going to get some good stories. We're just going to do story time with Brian, and he can talk to us about those old Panthers teams. And, you know, he was the first captain ever, so we got a lot of fun stuff to talk to with him. You said he was your top five.
Love covering Brian Scrudlin. A lot of fun to be around. Of course,
top five ever down here in South Florida.
Yeah, and let's remember, that was the magical run of 96. That was a fun team to be around. So, again, this millennium hasn't delivered a lot of winners in South Florida. A lot of good guys that you know at the best. I'm meeting guys at the low point in their careers, basically being run out of town or whatever. So it's a lot more fun when they're winning.
Well, we'll talk to Skrudlin in the 9 o'clock hour. Panthers have their home opener tonight, which you can hear on WQAM. 9 o'clock hour coming up next. Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.